Let's go ahead and get started. We are 2 minutes behind, but thank you, men, that are gathering for prayer meeting in the morning. It makes all the difference. Brothers, sisters that are not yet here, but knowing that they have been prayed for already, that's a blessing. Thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate it. I had a rough week this week, very active and very stressful, but thank you for your prayers. I felt them, and I thank you for them. We are now entering into lesson four, a countering rebuke. Can you hear me now? All right. We are, again, on lesson four, a countering rebuke. What does it mean when we say a countering rebuke? Well, let's go to the book of Luke 17, 3, so that we can get a grip of what's going on. Luke 17:3, a countering rebuke. It says, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespasses against thee," what's that next word? Rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. A countering rebuke is not made to humiliate a person. It's made to, a countering rebuke is made so that that person may realize, whether it's a brother, a sister, a group, that they're going in the wrong direction. And it's made so that, hey, you know what? What you're doing is wrong, and you offended me, and I just want to let you know that I've got offended, or you did something wrong and you need to straighten up. And it's made with the point of, you know what, brother? It doesn't feel good when people rebuke us. But when it's for the right reason, then it's, you know what? We have the tendency, when they tell us the truth, we kind of like, I don't, but it's the truth. And then when we let the Holy Spirit guide us and say, you know what, Lord, forgive me for acting in the flesh. And I ask that through your Holy Spirit, you forgive me. I offended that person or a group of people. And Father, thank you for that brother, that sister, those, especially sometimes the pastor that rebuked me in that way. And I was going in the wrong way, so you know what I need to do now? I need to turn and go in the right direction. That's what a countering rebuke is all about, okay? So now, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll go into the book of Jonah, chapter 1, and we'll be reading 1 through 10. Chapter 1, 4, 4 through, 3, 4 through 10. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this day, Lord, we come before your throne and we come to worship you, Lord. But we cannot worship you if our minds, if our hearts, if our spirits are not prepared. So, Father, as we have prayed this morning, I pray that you would give us and grant us that opportunity of being here this morning. Guide our minds through your Holy Spirit. Guide our hearts, our spirit, our souls, Lord. And may our strength be given to you, Lord. And may we give you the honor and glory. Be with us this morning, Father. Be with those that are on their way and those that are traveling, those that are under the weather. And we'll give you, Father, the honor and glory in Christ's name. We thank you. Amen. So we saw here what it's all about, a countering rebuke. Okay, so now we go into chapter 1, 4 through 10, and bear with me here. I'll read a little bit slower. I have been having more problems with my right eye. It's very difficult. So pray for me, and thank you for your prayers, okay? It says here, but the Lord sent out a great wind. Look, it's not just a wind. It's when God says it's a great wind, something is wrong. When God sends a great wind in our lives, he's trying to get our attention. We have done something wrong, okay? So he says, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was, again, look at that word, a mighty tempest. It wasn't just a tempest. It was a mighty tempest. What's going on in Tennessee right now? It's out looking. I mean, it's not like two or three. It's hundreds of little tornadoes everywhere. And that's scary, okay? And I was looking at the TV and houses just being blown out and cars flipping like toys. And thank God, I think they have some casualties down there. Pray for those families. But the sizes of the tornadoes, thank God that there wasn't a great fatality right there. People, but over there, I guess they have, like my son, they have, what do you call them when you go down?
Shelters.
They have some shelters down there. But he says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. The washing machine started in the sea. And you have a group of men that, all right, they're going to, that's their job, and they loaded up the ship, and with the intentions, they're going to Tarshish, and they're going to sell whatever they have. They're going to sell it, and they had a good load that was going to make them a good fortune. Okay, and so now they're over there, but all of a sudden, the wind starts blowing real hard, and of course, those waves start going back and forth, those waves, and that ship starts going up and down, and it's not getting any better, it's getting worse. Okay, it says, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid. Wouldn't you be afraid? I would be very afraid. Okay, and cried. They were scared. What's going on? Hey, the sail's coming down. And there is a big commotion going down there. Look what's going on. They were scared to death. Okay? Every man, he said, and it said they were afraid and cried every man to his God, to his idol. Isn't that amazing? In our time, how many religions there are, and especially, and I'm not trying to put no religion down, but Catholic, they have an idol for everything. For everything, they have an idol, and they, instead of praying to God, they kneel down before that idol, and they worship it, okay? But that was their beliefs, and cast forth the cargo that was in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah, as they're, everybody's working, okay, help me, Tony, you do this, John, you do this, Sam, you get this over here, and let's go ahead. Everybody, there wasn't a single man that wasn't doing something to try to get the ship back into course. Everyone was working except Jonah. The troublemaker was the one that caused all the problem, and he was like, if he did nothing. Sometimes we cause problems and we like, whoo, me. Sometimes, I remember when I was truck driving and I was going full speed and they stopped me. Do you know why I stopped you? No. I knew why he had stopped me. I was in the wrong. Okay? So because of me speeding, and then they checked my load, and then my load wasn't, and they kept on going, so they said, I better keep my mouth shut. But so it says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he laid and was fast asleep. To him, that big old storm was like a rocking chair for him. He's like, that rock up my baby with a creeper. And he was fast asleep, okay? So the shipmaster, the captain, came to him and said unto him, and he didn't, what meaneth? He was, those men were big, and they had filthy mouth. And you know what? And Jonah was on the side. You know what? They came down, and they say, wait a minute. There's somebody missing here, and we need his help also. So he goes down there. They can't find him up there. And so they go down, and Jonah is fast asleep. And the captain goes and, boom, knocks him down. He falls off. Say, what do you mean by falling asleep when we need help? See, they weren't very generous with him. Okay, we need to realize that they're mad at him because of what he's doing. Okay, so he says here, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call on thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots. Okay. You know how they did this? They wanted to know somebody's at fault. I don't know if you've seen, what's that called? Let's Make a Deal, something like that. Yes, it comes out. And then they play Planko or something like that. Then they have a like a little bag, and you put your hand in there. And if you get $1,000 or you get a chance to go through that thing, and you have to, you don't know. They're all the same size, same shape, but one of them is a black one. If you get the black one, you lose it, like you lose, okay? It's like a zonk or something like that. And so what they did, they cast a bucket with rocks the same shape, okay? Gray rocks, but one of them was black. And so they get their hands in the bucket, and again, the ship is not going, it's going like this, but they want to know why. I mean, everything was so right. What did we do wrong, God, that you're going to take our lives? And so they start putting their hands in the buckets, and they get them. They can't show it to nobody. And so when all the rocks are picked, and Jonah puts his hand in there, picks a rock, and I say, okay. And so we start, Tony, let's see yours. And it's a gray one. John, it's a gray one. John, it's a gray one. Sam and Wayne and Gerald and Ken and David and Michael and Pastor, and all the rocks are gray. And then let me see yours, Enoch, and my rock is black. Ah, you're the one. Okay, so that's how they were casting lots. And that's how they found out. But it was of the Lord also, okay? And it's, so it says there, and they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on who? Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. Because he had told them that he was a prophet. So they said, you're a prophet? Tell us, what is thine occupation? Okay. And whence comest thou? Well, he was coming from Jerusalem. He was a prophet. That was his occupation. He was a prophet, and he came from Jerusalem. And what is thy country? What nation are you from? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. Now, this fear is, the Bible says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's a reverence. It's not like a fear. When Satan puts fear in you, he paralyzes you, okay? So that you can't do nothing. The fear of the Lord will bring you into seeking God. You know what? I fear God. I thank you and I fear you. At prayer meeting, you are an almighty God. That's exactly what he is. Okay? So I thank God that he gave us the opportunity to surrender our lives to him. And yes, sometimes we get out of track and he'll send people to bring us back. He does it through the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. He works through us. So then he says, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea, okay, and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. Now this, when he's letting them know the God that made the universe is the one causing this. So now, because they don't know the Lord, fear. See, look at the fear that they have comparing to the fear that Jonah had. It's a very different fear. So they were greatly afraid, okay, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them, okay? That's a countering rebuke right there. They're rebuking him for what he did. You did this, and because of what you did, we're going to pay the price because of what you did. And they're not very happy with him. Some of them want to beat him up, but the waves don't let them beat him up, and they're afraid, okay? And so, have you ever told someone that they're going in the wrong way? It's so easy, brother. Hey, you, buddy, you're going in the wrong way. How about when somebody rebukes us? When they tell us that we're going in the wrong way, we kind of like don't like it. But has that ever happened to you and me? I'm imagining, yes. Okay, it's in our life many times. But again, that rebuke wasn't to humiliate us. We did something wrong. Especially with our wife, when we do something wrong, and okay, and get back. But they did it to correct us, okay? And it took a whole bunch of unbelievers to correct Jonah. They're rebuking him. Not our fault that you're running from the Lord. And so God will not let you go down without a fight. His intense love for you will go the extra mile to keep you from ruining your lives as well as the lives of others. Now, let's go to Hebrews, okay? To Hebrews chapter 12. And I'm going to read again several verses from there because we're talking about a countering rebuke. In Hebrews 12, 5, I'm going to read all the way 5 to 11. And it says this, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. This is what the Lord was doing. Okay? For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scorches every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastising, God dealeth with you as his sons. For what son is he whom the father chastiseth not? Did you ever get spanked by your dad, your mom? My mom would say, I never hit you guys, no, but she would always pull my ears and go, come over here. Yes, mom. Look what you did. I'm sorry, mom. See, get me. And my dad, he wouldn't yell at me. He'd come here, give me three swords. My goodness. My rear end would go, for a while. Oh, my goodness. But not because he wanted to punish me. He wanted to correct me, not to be doing what I wasn't supposed to. Okay? It says on verse 8, But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. A bastard is a person that doesn't have a father. Okay? We have a father, okay? And our father is the Lord. And so it says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, what I was talking about. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that he might be, that we might be partakers of his holiness. See, again, correcting us to the right road. And then verse 11 says, now no chastisement for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Okay? This is what he's talking about here. Okay? We see now at this point, Jonah is not very sensitive to the reproof of God because he has been saying no to God for quite some time. His conscience has become dull and his sensitivity to the still voice of God has been lost. You know what? A lot of times when God talks, and this is the way the Holy Spirit talks to us, I thank God that I have never had the Holy Spirit when I do something wrong get a little hammer and whack. He has always spoken to me, and I'm sure that to you, in that quiet little voice, I say, Enoch, Enoch, you know, it's not right what you're doing. And he brings us back to him. Lord, thank you. Okay? But when we keep on ignoring that you don't feel like a callus on your foot, that pretty soon you don't feel it no more. And when that happens, then God has to do something about it. Okay? It says here, God, when that happens, it says God has to get out the bigger lumber, so to speak. Deliberate disobedience calls for drastic discipline. Let me tell you, when I was in school back then, I was in the 6th, 7th grade, and it was a big school. The grade school had 2 floors, a big old school, and we had to go up the stairs, and every hour we would change class. go from math to English to science to then PE, and that was my favorite subject, PE, where I get to run. And we were in math. We were in social studies, the class of social studies. And Mr. Hargrave, I never forget that man, but I thank him now. But he was sitting in a big old desk. I can still see him. And we were about 28, 30 in the room, big old rooms. And because they would go in alphabetical order, I was one of the first ones in the row, and then they go all the way through. And he had a pedal right there with a whole bunch of little holes. And it says, you jumped the track. It says right there, you jumped the track, and I'll be glad to set you back into them, or something like that. And you looked at that pedal. But you know what, me and sometimes you would go to, I'm going to the office, I better not catch any one of you out of your chairs or anything. I'll be back and I'll be listening to you through the intercom. As soon as he would leave, there was a Eddie Martinez, and he was on the next, by the time we'd go over there, and I said, I'm going to go sharpen my pencil. And I was walking down, and as he was riding, I'd go, boom, I would hit him on the back of the head. You better stop it. You better stop it. And then I was working on my paper, and he'd come behind me and boom, he'd kick me, and oh, I'm gonna get you. And so that time, Enoch and Eddie, you better not be doing anything wrong, because I've had it with you. He had it with us. He had so much patience, but he had it with me and others. Throwing papers, and we used to have those little candy BBs with a straw. We'd be looking, and the teacher would be saying, "If I catch you with them, I'm gonna ground the whole class." And that's how he would get us. If I did something wrong, he would keep us after school for a few minutes, and then he'd put the pressure on me. Why? Because now everybody, why did you do that? And everybody was after me. So, but that time he said, I'm going out. And he knew that we were up to no good. And so he said, I'm going out. And he acted like he went out the door to the hall. And you could hear his footstep going. And he did that on purpose. And you could hear on the hall. And I got up. Come here. Come here. And he said to me, well, come on in. We are kicking each other and fighting with each other, just horse playing around. And we looked at the door, and he's standing right in the door. Aha, come here. No, Mr. Hargrave, we love you. You're our favorite teachers. Come here. He took us to the office. And he says, which one of you is going to be the first one? I told my friend, be my guest. So they put us up there. Pah, pop, you can hear those whats through all the hallways. Pow, pow, pow. Back then, you know what? After that, he would look at us and we start to mess around. You go, yes, sir. But it took that paddle to put us in line. Okay? But sometimes what we did caused the classroom to be grounded, to be stay after school. And this is what, because of what Jonah did, others were going to pay the consequences for what they did, okay? So now there's times when our discipline affects others. And now we're going to see, because of what Jonah did, the blasting of the storm. Okay? And now, because of what he did, not only did they kick him, no, now they found out what he did, and the storm starts getting bigger and bigger. It's not stopping. They're throwing things out. And so we're going to see, we're going to stop there, and we're going to continue with, it's going to be the blasting of the storm. Okay? And so we are on lesson four, a countering rebuke. And we're going to stop there. It's a lot of information, so I'll probably take more weeks on this. But bear with me. And hopefully we learn and can learn something of the book of Jonah. Not that we just heard it, but what can I learn, Lord, of what you're teaching us through the book of Jonah in our lives? Okay? Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we ask your blessing and we thank you, Father. We pray that you would prepare our minds, our hearts for the message this morning. Prepare the heart and mind and the spirit of Sam as he will be directing the music. Be with those that will be singing in the choir. Be with those that will be playing an instrument, the ushers, the ones that are at the nursery, Lord, the Sunday school teachers. Be with each and every one of us. Be with our family member here at Harvest Baptist, Lord, those that are on their way. We pray for those that are not doing too good. Be with them, those that are traveling. And Father, for the visitors that will be coming this morning, maybe for the first time, may you, through the Holy Spirit, through your word, through the message, may you touch their hearts that if they do not know you, may they come to know you this morning. Be with all of us, Lord. Comfort Pastor Cook and give him, Lord, of your spirit so that he can speak freely of your word to us, Lord. And may we open our hearts, our minds, our ears so that we can capture what you're telling us, and may that message that he has, that you have prepared for him, may it reach our hearts and minds, and may we do something about it, Father. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen. Thank you.